Good morning. It's so good to see you. I'm glad you're here to be with us this morning and to worship and to open up God's Word. We're going to be in the book of Acts this morning. If you want to go to Acts chapter 2, we're going to finish up that book, or rather that chapter this morning, and look at what God is doing. Last week we saw that Peter preaches. It's the first Christian sermon that we have in Scripture, and Peter preaches Jesus. And what I wanted and hope that communicated last week was the idea that the same sermon Peter preached about Jesus is the same gospel that we preach today, and that is Jesus came according to what Scripture said. He's the fulfillment of Scripture. He died on the cross. He rose again. He ascended to the Father, and one day he's coming back. And that the fact is that the gospel demands a response from you and from me, and we've got to do something with this Jesus. And so this morning, I want us to see what happens as the church begins to grow and the church begins to live out those teachings and live out that forgiveness found in Christ and to live out the things that the apostles teach them. And the main way that they live that out is through fellowship with one another. Now, fellowship is often a loaded term in the Baptist church. We always put fellowship with food. And that's not necessarily, it's not a bad thing. I'm not downing that. But I want you to begin to think beyond food when we talk about fellowship. We have a fellowship hall in which we eat, right? We have fellowships, and they usually are around food. And in the New Testament, the early church, they got together and they ate. So it's biblical. You know what I'm saying? It's not a bad thing. But I do want us to understand that fellowship is not just eating. In fellowship, true fellowship, is what happens around the table. And in the interactions we have with one another. And that fellowship does not have to have food. A fellowship just has to have people. And so this morning we want to talk about fellowship and how the church grew. And the word in Scripture for fellowship is, it may be a Greek word you've heard, it's called koinonia. And it's the idea of having fellowship and living together in a way that demonstrates love. It's interesting when Jesus said how people will know if you are a disciple. It's not how many times you read the Bible during the week. It's not how many times you shared your faith. It's not how many times you went to church. Those are the things we tend to connect with what makes me a good disciple. But what Jesus says will define you as his disciples to the world is the way you love one another. So the way we love one another, the way we interact, the way we fellowship, the way we take care of one another will demonstrate to the world that we belong to Jesus. So this morning, I want us to look at this passage, and I want to pull out what I think are three things that happen or three aspects or three outcomes of the principle of fellowship. So let's read. We'll pick up in verse 41. We're going to see what happens after Peter preaches. We see the response, and then we'll go through verse 47. And so Scripture says this: "So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day 3,000 people were added to them." So at Peter's first message, a mega church started. I mean, that's just amazing. And so 3,000 people are baptized and become believers. Verse 42, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Then fear came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had a need. And every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with a joyful and a humble attitude, praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved. So what are the three aspects of fellowship? What are the three aspects that I see in these texts? This text has lots going on in it. Lots of truth, lots of things to teach us. But this morning I want to pull out these three things that we can, or these three principles, or these three outcomes from the principle of fellowship. The first one is this, that there's growth. That when you have true fellowship, you will find growth. You will see that when you have true fellowship in a small group, that people want to be part of that group, and that group begins to grow. The scripture says that 3,000 were baptized. And in the last scripture, verse 47, it says, and daily there were those who were added to their numbers. So growth comes, and not only is there numerical growth, but more importantly, there's spiritual growth. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. And for you and me, what does that mean? That means not that you go and you listen to someone preach every day, but it means that you get connected with God's word, because guess what the apostles' teaching are? They're what we have in the New Testament. The apostles' teachings are the New Testament today. And so they devoted themselves to the word of God. And they devoted themselves to the word of God, and they began to grow them spiritually. Now, part of the role of church is to help you grow spiritually. And there are ways for us to do that. And there's ways that we give you opportunities to do that. One of the ways is to get involved in a small group, to get involved in a Sunday school or a small group outside of Sunday school. We just want you to get together, have community, have fellowship, so that you can grow spiritually. Because you can listen to a message over and over again, but until you live that out with other people, that's where the true growth comes. So growth will come spiritually. So we say, hey, come and get involved in a small group. Another way that you can grow spiritually is to come and just worship on Sunday. You get to interact with God the Father. We get to listen to his word, and hopefully the goal is for you to apply it to your life, and that you will be changed because you are listening to God's word, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, that you are being changed and sanctified, which is a big church word. It means change to be more like Jesus. And the third way that we have for you is to get involved in a D group. We've still got 3 D groups going, and I only hear good things coming out of them. That how that community that they have with one another, the fellowship they have going on together, that it is good for them. And they're growing spiritually, and they're maturing as believers. But let me be honest with you. The main part of your growth is going to have to be on your own. We want to encourage you by giving you this plan, the F260 plan, where you read scripture on your own and you listen to God and you soak in what he says and you apply those very truths to your life. You've got to spend personal time with the Father. You've got to listen to what scripture teaches you. You've got to hear how the Bible can change your life. They also spent time together. It says they would go from house to house, breaking bread, having lunch together, a meal together. It is good to get together and have a meal together, because there you get to spend time with one another. A meal is a very important vehicle for fellowship. Jesus used it in the New Testament. Think about the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is hanging out in a tree, and Jesus Jesus says, hey, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today, and it means we're going to have lunch together. And when you go and you have lunch with someone, you have that face-to-face time with them, and you spend time and you dialogue, and you talk about life and what's going on. And they grew together, they spent time, they shared meals, and they prayed together. We want you to pray with one another. You want to have real fellowship? You want to create real love for one another? Pray for one another. If you're mad at someone, pray for them. It's hard to stay mad at someone when you're asking God to bless them, ain't it? You're asking God to change your heart and to bless them. Man, it gets hard to be angry with someone. And that fellowship can be restored. The whole idea is that we want to have a deeper understanding of God and awe of who He is, a reverence for what the Holy Spirit is teaching us and moving in our midst. And we get the opportunity to share with one another what God is doing in our lives. This past week, someone came to my office and was talking about what's going on in their small group. And how God is using that to open up doors, to have conversations with people and growing them. And that group is beginning to kind of splinter off and do groups on their own where they're encouraging and doing Bible study with people who aren't involved already. And I mean, that makes my heart happy to hear that God is growing through fellowship, a group of people, and that they are sharing that fellowship and that truth with others. The first thing we see that when we have fellowship with God and with one another, that growth happens. And as we grow, we begin to reach out. As we grow, we reach out, and the second principle comes up, and that is meeting needs. It says that they sold everything and that they took care of anyone's needs, whoever had it. Now, I'm not arguing for one particular part of financial way of doing things or not. The point of Scripture is this, that they took care of one another, and if they had to sell something to do it, they were willing to do it. Are you and I that way? Like, are you willing to sell a four-wheeler or a boat or an extra car because someone else has a financial need? Not to give them a loan, but just to bless them. To be able to take care of them the way God designed the body to do. Because they're familiar with one another, because they knew each other's pains and they knew each other's heartache and they knew each other's trials and things going on in their lives, they were able to take care of their needs, particularly financial needs. They were able to bless them and take care of them because God had blessed each of them in a different way. Sometimes we can help people in other ways as well. We can help with social needs. We can help with just needs of friendship and other things. People go through lots of stuff that you as a Christian, as the body of Christ, are designed and challenged and told to care for one another, to love one another, to bear one another's burdens. And so the early church took care of needs. They did ministry, and that is our job as well. And what held them all together was their unity. What held them all together was their unity in that they are focused on Christ, they are loving one another, and no matter what the challenge was, that they were going to tackle it together. Do you have that kind of love for the person next to you on the pew? For the person down the row from you, maybe a few rows ahead? Are you willing to give everything for them? Are you willing to love them? Are you willing to be unified for them? Are you willing to take care of their needs? Several months ago, there was a group of guys who said, look, we need to not just talk about being the church. We need to be the church. And we need to take care of people's needs. And so over the last several months, these group of men have got together on their own. They didn't need me. They didn't need my permission. They just said, hey, we're going to take care of the widows and the widowers in our church and anyone who has a need that we can take care of, we're going to do. And they, God has provided financially to take care of some of those needs. Some of those needs they've used their own money for, and they have spent countless hours doing things for others. Never would they say, give me money. Never would they say, we expect lunch. Never would they say, you owe us one. Because they are being the body loving on others. And I'm extremely thankful. And as a pastor, I am proud of what they have been doing over the last several months. And some of you have been beneficiaries of what they've done. You've had your house clean. You've seen things in your yard taken away. They've done a variety of things. And so I appreciate the men's ministry. I appreciate what they're doing. And again, they're not doing it for a pat on the back. They're doing it because God called them to take care of others. And that is a picture of what God has called us to do in Acts 2. And that is to be the church and meet the needs of others. And it is amazing how God has used them to love on people in our church and care about them. So as we spend time with others, meeting their needs, loving on them, having fellowship with them, you begin to develop a relationship in where you can be honest with them. And there comes accountability, and there comes correction. The last thing we see is accountability and correction. And it talks about this in verses 46 and 47. Says every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in a temple complex. They broke bread together. They ate in humble, joyful attitudes, praising God, having favor with one another. And as they devoted themselves to the teaching, they could see in one another's life how that teaching was taking place. One of the main reasons we have small groups and have community groups or whatever we call them, Sunday school, so that we can be honest with one another and live in a way that we can talk about what's going on in our lives. In my Sunday school class, it's been a while now, but some of the guys shared some struggles. And so from time to time, we will ask them, how are you doing? And we ask them not to beat them up, not to be the sin police, not to be, man, I'm glad I ain't got your problem. But we ask them that so we can pray for them, so we can encourage them in what they're doing, so that we can help them along. We can pray for them. And as we have this fellowship and as we spend time together, you are able to encourage one another. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it talks about how two men walking down the road is better than being alone. That if one man stumbles and falls, he has someone there to pick him up. And that is what it means to walk and live the Christian life with friends and with family and with people who care about you in fellowship. They are there to help pick you up, to encourage you, to honestly say, hey, this is a problem in your life. So when we live in community with one another, we live in fellowship with one another, we are able to reinforce the truths of Scripture. We are able to reinforce what Scripture says. You talk with your friends. You learn about what's going on in Scripture. You learn about what's going on in their life. Proverbs 27:17 says that iron sharpens iron, that we are able to help correct and align one another. So we want to pray for others. We want to help them. We don't want to beat them down. You don't want to be beat down. So we shouldn't do that to others. But we have to be honest. So when you are called upon and God tells you you need to say something to somebody, Paul says it like this: make sure that your words are seasoned with salt. What does he mean by that? He means you say it in a way that's loving, not in a way that's belittling, not in a way that's beating them up, not in a way that is judgmental, not in a way that is that's going to do them harm, but in a way that opens their eyes to the sin in their life that everyone else sees that somehow we are blind to. And in doing so, the goal, again, is not to push them from God, but to bring them back to God. So we have accountability and we have correction in our lives. Fellowship helps for you and me to mature in our walk. And if you are out there trying to live your life as a Christian all on your own, I feel sorry for you. Get involved with other believers. Have them in your life. Let them encourage you. Let them hold you accountable. Because you don't want to be the guy who's walking down the road and falls all alone. We all need someone to help us up. And that is what the body of Christ is for. And we do that in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the driving force in their daily lives. The Holy Spirit is the driving force in their unity. The Holy Spirit is the driving force in their fellowship. So if you think you can do it all alone, man, do we have ourselves fooled. We need God. We need one another. And when we do that, we have growth. We have the ability to meet needs of others. We have the accountability and the correction that people offer in our life. So what about you? Where are you at in this scenario? Are you committed to fellowship? Are you committed to a group of people who are like-minded? It's not busy work. It's called being the church. And we don't have Sunday school just to get you here an hour early. We have Sunday school so that you can have fellowship with one another. But let me caution you with this. Sometimes fellowship can get ugly. Sometimes it can be difficult. But that's where we deny ourselves, rely on the Holy Spirit. And also this, you need to note that fellowship is not just not fighting. Fellowship is not the absence of fighting. Fellowship is so much more than that. It's so much more than being cordial or nice to one another. It is really involved in one another's life. Are you committed to one another? Maybe today you need to join a Sunday school. Maybe today you need to join a small group. Maybe today you need to talk about getting involved in the next D group. You need fellowship and people need your fellowship. It's how the early church exploded. So as they play and as we sing, invite you to stand and respond to God. Maybe you need to seek guidance on where to find fellowship or where to get involved in, but you need one another. Will you stand and respond to God?